May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I was actually going to do something different, but that story always grabs my attention. For CTKers who were here Wednesday night, we referenced this little place, and I take it literally. When Paul said, "To me, the least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to proclaim." That wasn't just by language, by life, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul saw himself, I don't think Paul was just being humble. He referred himself and Timothy as the chief of sinners because he had done some pretty terrible things. He had, at this point, had been the worst persecutor of Christians before his conversion that there was. And did it with a lot of zeal, was very thorough in the process. Many people were killed because of him. And Paul viewed himself as the least of all the saints. And I don't know how to voice this. It's not some kind of false humility or Paul, this is the spiritual thing you should say. I believe Paul believed that. And so I take him at his word. And the point being is that no matter where you think you might be or what you don't think you deserve or whatever, how inadequate you may be or what terrible story you might have from where you've been, if that's what God could do with the least, how he proclaimed the unsearchable riches of Christ by life, by ministry, by words, then there's certainly a place for God to do stuff, amazing things through you. We have a story in the Bible of God using a single person to bring revival and turn transformation to an entire area. A couple of amazing stories. One we've talked about lately, how Paul, again, prayed for those people in the island of Malta, and every one of them, every person on the island who was sick got healed. Like, that's what I'm going for. And I don't know how much maybe that was, but it's bigger than this church, I would assume. And so we can see that in the scripture, then I can be going after everybody in this church getting healed. And if we can get there, then we can go next, you know what I'm saying? Being a bishop, I should have some say-so about what happens in other churches in terms of influence spiritually. I don't mean by that what they have to do, but certainly if we can steward that here, we can pray into that for them. And then as an archbishop, that covers the southeast, and so and there's a legate over Africa, then maybe they can go after a continent. I mean, why not? That's childlike. But I think about the other cruel story is that this one woman who God used to bring revival to Sychar, this whole town came to Christ because of her testimony. And here's the neat thing about this woman is that when she talks about the Christ and Jesus says, "Well, I'm he," this woman who had five husbands was now living with a guy. That's the first person in Scripture that Jesus directly reveals himself to as the Christ. What? I'm talking about at least. And you say, well, what can God do through me where I am, where I work, where I live? This woman brought a whole town to Christ. Yeah, he said, but she's a Bible person. So are we. She's a Bible person who was married five times, who was living with a guy. She was a Bible person who was so ashamed and was such a scourge to that religious area. As a matter of fact, it was a very heretical area. Samaritans were very heretical. So they had heretical theology. She had a horrible life. She was a social outcast. That's why she's drawing water in the middle of the day where it's 112 degrees. There's nobody else who's going to be there to mock her, for her to feel guilty around. So the shame, all the stuff, and yet she encounters Christ. He brings eternal life. He brings the reality of heaven into her life by just reading her mail. And that's the person he chooses to reveal himself to first, openly say. Well, I know he spoke that and he said, "Who do you say that I am?" The disciples, but that's later, I believe. But so you think, well, I just don't know if I can see the things that God shows other people. Really? Is your story worse than that one? Because this woman had been married five times, was living with a guy. She was a heretic and a total social outcast. She was immoral. And look what he revealed himself to her. Of course it's for you. If you qualify for least or anywhere least and above, and he wants to reveal himself to you, reveal the secrets of your heart, reveal him the secrets of his heart. He wasn't running around telling everybody he was the Messiah. He revealed the secrets of her heart, revealed the secrets of his heart to her, and he used her to change an entire region. That's encouraging to me. That makes me want to go after it. It makes me want to seek him. I want to seek his face. I want to be like the disciples in Acts 4 and in seeking His face say, God, extend Your hand through me. Do miraculous things. Change the lives of people. Seek Your face and, Lord, extend Your hand. But I want You to reveal the secrets of my heart, and You'll reveal the secrets of Your heart to me. If You do it for her, You'll do it for me. And if You could use her that way, You could use me that way. That's just biblical Christianity, right? That's just good theology. So my hope is that that builds hope in you. Because what the enemy will do, he'll use condemnation and guilt. He'll cause you to be introspective. And then you'll just constantly disqualify yourself for experiencing all that He has, experiencing the secrets of His heart, reveal to you things uniquely to you, you know, kind of those first things to you, and then use you in that profound way. Of course you qualify. You know why you qualify? Because you fall into the scope of His love. That's the only reason you qualify. Because you're within the territory of His goodness and His grace. That's why you qualify. So if you're still within range of His goodness, you qualify. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.